to God. Let's have our hands to the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this great church. Thank you for the great leadership here. Thank you for the anointing that's on this house, on me and these lips of clay, that I do speak this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness, asking you to think through my mind, speak to my lips, and this word shall come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force, and that signs, wonders, and miracles will confirm the word preached. We thank you, call it done, in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Take a seat, please. Amen, amen. Somebody said flow, but they said it too weak. Too late. All right. Well, we come before you again. Let me, at this time, introduce our president of the Joseph Business School. We have the Joseph Business Center. Woo, 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 woo. And if you give her a microphone, we have it in 5 continents of the world. And God is doing great things through the Joseph Business School. And we're going to do some things with them here today. But I'd like her to come up and just say a few words, praise God, or whatever, however you're going to do it. Dolores, Dr. Dolores Thomas, welcome her. Amen.
Oh, great morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Amen. So this morning you're about to hear an amazing prophet of God, Dr. Winston. And we are delighted to be here, and we've got some JBS graduates and alums in the house. Woo! You know, the enemy loves for us to come to church and to scream. But one of the things that Dr. Winston has taught us is that God is looking for the church to have power. Amen? Power. And one of the things that I have been so excited and had the privilege of being able to experience is to sit at Dr. Winston's feet as he ministers the word of God. And, you know, with him and the power in which, see, you guys aren't even paying attention. You could be missing, hello? You guys are watching Dr. Winston. He's good. You guys are watching Dr. Winston. I could see you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Okay. So one of the things that Dr. Winston has taught us is the importance of making the word become flesh. And so when he speaks, he is not preaching as if he's just reading the word, as if it's logos. This man heard God tell him to buy a mall that at the time he didn't think that he himself and his own ability could do. But God says, every place the sole of your foot have tread upon, that have I given unto you. And out of that word, he was able to acquire a 500,000 square foot property, and is now employing thousands of people in the city in which he operates. So the same here in Nigeria, God will have you point at a place and bring that to you with that faith so that you could employ many, many people. Amen? So he's been really commissioning the Joseph Business School and the congregation to close the wealth gap, because that is the work of the church. He says, I've given you power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. And in closing that wealth gap, that is to be able to really take your imagination and do what God is telling you to do without even blinking, but using that faith to get that. So when he asked my husband and I to start the school 20 plus years ago, I know I only look like 20, but 20 plus years ago, okay, you didn't laugh. So when he asked us to start the school, we went and we said with our education that it would take 24 months. And Dr. Winston heard the plan, but he said, let me go and pray about it. And when he prayed about it, God told him to come back and tell us it would take 2 months. So I don't know what God has been telling you to do, and in your natural ability, you think it's going to take a long time. But it was one day. It was one day when David showed up after they had been spending time with Goliath, messing around with him, and in one day he said, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. And within 2 months, under his direction, under his prophetic word, we started the school, and now it is all over the world. Amen? So when you hear him speak today, do not receive him as just another preacher. If you do that, you will miss what God is telling you to do. This is what I want to challenge you to do today. How many of you love shopping? A lot of you love shopping. You're Nigerians, I know. You love shopping, okay? How many of you have decided that there are some stores that are too big for you to go shop in? Or some vacations that are too luxurious for you to even imagine? Well, God is telling you and calling you to a higher level of thinking. And Dr. Winston is not only going to teach you how to think it, he's going to teach you how to make it happen, because God has promised you to be the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. And I guarantee you, if you listen to the word of God with that expectation of faith, your life will never be the same. So God bless you. I can't wait to have us celebrate the word of God together. Amen.
Hey, all right. Let's open our Bibles, please, and let's go over to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. 29 and 18, all right? You've got it there. All right, let's read that together. Ready? Read. Hold on. We're going to read it together. One, two, three. Amen, amen, amen. Vision, one of the most important things that you can have in life. As you live this life, you need a vision. You need a vision for your life. You need a vision for your family. If you have a business, you need a vision for that. You need a vision for your future. But vision is very, very important. My dear late friend, Dr. Miles Monroe, said vision is the most powerful thing in the earth next to the Holy Ghost. And so vision is something that we need. So we're going to call this visionary leadership. I'm going to teach more on miracles tonight, but this is visionary leadership, and we're going to talk about that, what it is, and your part to play in it. He gave Adam a vision. He said to Adam, God created Adam in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth in the earth. So God gave Adam and Eve and you and I dominion over creeps. Some people may know some creeps and others may not know creeps. But I know some creeps that I want dominion over. One is the devil. I want to make sure I have dominion over him and all the work that he has done. So this is the what? The dominion that God wants to have in this, wants us to have in this earth. And then another one is in Genesis chapter 128, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have again dominion. So we're saying here, this is the vision that he gave Adam and Eve in the beginning. And what is vision? Vision is a snapshot of your future. Vision is a snapshot of your future. You should have a snapshot. You take a camera and you get a snapshot. And we think about Joseph, for example. Joseph had a dream. That was a snapshot. And when I was a little boy, I had a dream that I was in the house asleep with my family, and I got thirsty. I got up at night, and I went through the living room into the kitchen to get some water. And once I got the water, I came back through. The only thing is that my dad had apparently been friends with the local undertaker or the funeral home, and they had run out of room for the bodies. So my dad volunteered to take some of the caskets and put them in our house. And that wasn't a dream. That was a nightmare. And so what happened was we put it in the house, and I remember when I came and got the water and come back through the living room, all the caskets open and all the dead set up. And I said, whoa. So I had that dream three or four times. Now, when I got to ORU, I went to seminary in ORU. And as I was there, there was a guy who interprets dreams. I said, you know, what did this dream mean that I had time and time again? He said, I described a dream. He said, even at a young boy, you were called to raise the dead. And I said, wow. And he's talking about both the dead, people who are unsaved, bring them to salvation, and of course, the miracles of raising the dead. So I'm just saying, it's how God can give you a picture of something, a snapshot of your future. Another thing about vision is it's a clear picture of conditions that do not currently exist. You might write this down. A clear picture of conditions that do not currently exist. A vision. A clear picture of conditions that do not currently exist. When you think about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, he told his brothers about the dream that he had, verse 5. And then he told his brothers, and his brothers got jealous over him. He had the dream twice. And he dreamed that his brothers even bowed down to him. And the stars and the moon bowed down to him. And he also told his father about it in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 10. And his father even rebuked him. He said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Now, the father didn't know it, but that was a prophetic dream. And I believe that God gives people in the church prophetic dreams. I think we have been prophetically empowered to do something in these last days. And God wants it done through the church. So it's a clear picture of circumstances or conditions that do not currently exist. What is a dream? It's a snapshot it's a picture of your destiny, a destiny that God may have for you. It's a strong mental image of your destiny. Say that with me, strong mental image of my destiny. So God will show you that. He'll show you something that is to come in your life. And this, of course, relates to your purpose in life and why you have been born and put into the earth. So those things really, if you look at those things and just meditate on them, they really bring out a picture of what vision is all about. Now, what's happening in the earth right now? What's going on in the earth? There is a leadership void. There is a leadership void. Here's what Jesus said. This is in Matthew's gospel, and Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. He said, let them alone, they be what? Blind leaders of the blind. Is that the right verse?
Yeah.
Okay. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what's going to happen? Everybody's going where? He's going to fall into the ditch. All right. So notice you can have people that are leading that are blind. I'll try that again. You can have people that are leading that are blind. Now, just because they're in the front doesn't mean that they can see. There has to be a vision. They have to see something, a picture of something, a clear picture of conditions that do not currently exist. They have to see, have a strong mental image of the future. This is what they're supposed to see if they're going to lead people. And you had, back in that day, you had the Pharisees when Jesus was here. And the Pharisees really couldn't see. They had no revelation. Back over in Numbers in chapter 14, they didn't like Moses. They got put out with Moses and they wanted to make another leader. And just say, hey, let us make us another leader. Well, you need God to select leaders. You need God to bring leaders forward. And so what happened is they were trying to make another leader and go back to Egypt. But it never did happen. They got in the wilderness. Of course, that's where they died. All right. So one of the things that's happening today is that there are blind leaders. Another thing that's happening is there are corrupt leaders. There are corrupt leaders. Now, this can be found over in Acts chapter 24 and 25. Now, this is a situation where Paul is before Agrippa. Agrippa is a king at that time. He was married to a Jewish woman. And here he is before Agrippa. Now, here's Agrippa, of course, questioning Paul and so forth. But what Paul thinks, or Agrippa thinks, is he thinks that Paul's going to give him a bribe. He is thinking that for Paul to get released, Paul's going to try to bribe him. Well, he wanted Paul to bribe him. He wanted the money. But that's corrupt leadership. And we have that not only in Africa. We have it in the other nations as well. We have leadership that is corrupt. Now, I'm saying this because their aim, their job of what they're trying to accomplish is something that they have in mind to accomplish for the nation or for the city or whatever have you. And they're used to a corrupt culture. And what you have to do, even though you're in the world, you can't be what? Of the world. You were supposed to be here, but not live like the world lives. Say amen to that. Now, what some people think is they think that if they don't bribe somebody, they can't get anywhere. Don't believe that. The only reason person believe that is they don't know the power of the kingdom of God. They don't know the power that God operates in. Again, God will even make leaders tremble. There was one of our members of our Faith Ministry Alliance. He was from the Latin American countries, Colombia. And so what happened was he came and he told a story. No, this was Segundo. And one of our members told a story and he said this, that this particular pastor wanted to buy some land. And the land was controlled by the cartel. Now the cartel is like the mafia down in the Latin American countries. They control a lot of stuff. They've got a lot of money. But they control some of the land. And even though the city had responsibility or authority over the land, they didn't control it. The cartel controlled the city, and the city controlled the land. So what happened was this pastor, God spoke to him, said, I want you to get that land because I want you to build a church on that land. So he goes to the city and asks the city, could we have that land? Could we buy it? The city said, no. They said, well, we're willing to negotiate with you a good price for it. No. And it was absolutely no. So the reason why is because the cartel was controlling the city. And so what happened was this particular pastor heard me preach on vengeance. God says over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, vengeance is mine, and I will, come on, recompense, saith the Lord. Now, vengeance is not revenge, has nothing to do with revenge. It's God's heart of justice that is being exercised on our behalf so that he can bring justice to a certain situation. And so what happened was, this justice went into effect. Now, if you know anything about it, over in Genesis chapter 20, King Abimelech took Abraham's wife, Sarah, into his harem, into his palace. And he took her, and the Bible says over in Genesis and chapter 20 and verse 3, I want you to read that with me. Ready? Read. Okay, stop. Behold, you are but a what? Dead man. Now, who said that? God said it. So God says, if you don't let her go, you're a dead man. Now, this is what God says. Now, a lot of people say, well, God is the God of love. Yes, that is true. But God also said in his word, the Lord killeth and the Lord will make alive. Now, he's not out to kill people. He's out to save people. But if you're holding something that belongs to one of his people and it's time for you to let it go, God will make you let it go. Lord have mercy. Let me come over this side. Now, I want you to see that because a lot of times we don't profit by the things that God has for us because we don't know and have no knowledge of how God's going to deliver us, how God's going to do this for us. Remember, I said when they wouldn't let us have services in the shopping mall, God said, go see the mayor and read this to the mayor. I took it, and I just took God's instructions, and I read it to the mayor, Romans chapter 13. And when I did that, the mayor began to tremble. Well, what happened is when this particular preacher wanted that land, then and they wouldn't sell it to him, he prayed about it. God spoke to the head of the mafia and said this to him. You better sell it, that land, to him or you're but a dead man. And what happened, he shows up. He called the pastor and said, meet me at the land at midnight on this certain night. So the pastor met him there, took another pastor with him. And he met him there. And all these limousines pulled up with shotguns. And then the last limousine was this drug kingpin. And what he did, he got out of the car. He said, are you Pastor so-and-so? He said, yes. He said, someone called me on my cell phone. And he said, nobody has my number. And the voice spoke to me and told me I better sell you that land. He said, take all the land you want. What land do you want? Now, I'm saying this is something that God's people need to be taught. And if you're not taught vengeance, guaranteed, many times you'll be a victim. God wants to do things for you, but you have to understand and have the knowledge of how to get it done. Say amen to that. Now, I'm saying that I didn't come here to preach on vengeance tonight. But there is vengeance in the book. And if you look at Acts chapter 13, you'll see where here is Paul and them trying to witness. And what happened is a sorcerer is blocking the way to the governor hearing the word of God. And what happened? Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto the sorcerer, you will be blind not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately blindness fell on him, and he went about to lead for somebody to lead him by the hand. What am I saying? God loves people, but he loves justice. And if somebody is on and representing the kingdom of God and some force is standing against you, here's what God told Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let him go. That's what Moses told him. Pharaoh said, no, here comes a plague. Pharaoh, let him go. Pharaoh said, no, here comes another plague. Pharaoh, let my people go. No, and here comes another plague. Pretty soon, he said, let him go, but don't let him go too far. That is not the deal. Say, no deal. Whatever kind of negotiation the devil trying to get you into, tell him no deal. See, you don't have to bow down to corruption. You can make them give it up when God meets them at night in their own bedroom. Glory to God. I better go to the other side. This was not my message, but God is leading me here. I'm just saying God loves people, but he wants you to get the job done. You are sent here in the last days, and the only way the job can be done is by this group that's sent here right now. So I'm saying you learn the principles of God and his justice system. I'm telling you, every corrupt system will bow down to your God. Say amen to that. Come on, give God a shout for that. This is the day of God's vengeance. This is it. And you're the people to help to execute that vengeance. Now, so first, blind leaders. People are just blind. They can't see. And when people can't see, they're making decisions based on what they could see, which is nothing. And the next thing you know, they're making decisions to have books with all kinds of sexual things in them and introducing them to our children. You see, that person is not doing it just being malicious. That person can't see. You see, when people don't have God, they have the devil. And the enemy is running them and trying to tell them how to set up this system. But you're here to change all of that. It's the right group. You're here to change all. Now this conference here should not be another conference that you're just coming to get some information and feel good for a few days, but the overall picture is as if you're broke, you're still broke. Sick, still sick. Come on. I'm just saying this conference should be a game changer for your life. This should be the conference. I don't care where you come from. Yeah, I don't have anything. I don't have much education. It doesn't make any difference. Start with what you've got right there. And watch God take you from the bottom to the top. Well, first, blindness. And because of blindness, they're making bad decisions. And when people make bad decisions, even the decisions have side effects. And the next thing you know, a lot of people are affected negatively because without a vision, the people what? Perish. And so what we want to do is we want to get the right vision. So blindness, corruption. Now another one is when people, and I'm going to say this, and I just want you to receive and then think about it, meditate on it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Quota versus qualified. Quota versus qualified. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about. Now I don't know how it is here in Nigeria, but in the States, they have this quota thing. And they want a certain quota of blacks, Latinos, women, and now HBQ, whatever that is. You got what I'm saying? Now, these are laws that are being passed. Now, when I was in let me see, I want to say this, tell this right. Come in. See, you had some faith behind that. Come in, you better hurry up, because this thing don't last long. Give him a hand clap. He got $100 USD. Come on. All right. See, he had some faith behind that. No, it's too late. You can't, it's too late, homie. All right. No, it is too late for you too. All right, now, I want you to see this, because I flew airplanes as a pilot in the military, and I flew fighters, which you got to go through a lot of training, radar school, all kinds of things to do. Now, I have to go to combat. I went to combat, and I had to fly in combat. That means you get shot at. Now, in a flight formation, you have a flight lead. Somebody is leading the flight. Now, when they're leading that flight, I want to make sure that they know how to lead. Because in this situation, I've got a lot at stake. mainly my body. I'm saying that, wait a minute, I don't want somebody leading me just because they're black. I better go to the other side now, boy. I don't want them leading me just because they are this, or just because this is their color, or just so forth. I don't want them leading. I don't need that. My whole life is at stake. I don't need you getting up there and leading me because somebody wanted to meet a quota. I want you to lead me when you can fly. Because there can be a leader in war that can take you right to your death. So I need a leader that can lead. Yes, sir. Say amen. Amen. See, what you're doing, you're getting quiet now. Well, how am I going to get up there? That's because you don't know enough. I'm about to tell you how to get there. How to get at the top. You're going to be the leader. You're going to be the one that's making the decision. I'm going to tell you how to get there supernaturally. It's very important. See, because some people say, well, they need a black there. That's fine. And we all know that's true. Oh, we need a rainbow of people there. But if you're on an airplane and you're catching a commercial airliner from here to New York City, do you want somebody in the cockpit that can fly? Or do you want your friend in there? No. Because it's your life. See? And that's what's happening with some leadership that is not godly. Because we're making laws and putting people in positions of politics, in positions so forth, only because we got the concern with the color. Now, you're saying, well, wait a minute now. If we don't do that, then how are the people who have been disenfranchised are going to be able to make up? How are they going to get in these positions? You're going to first get in the position by knowing Jesus. Oh, that didn't get many amens, but that's... Once you know God, you have just come into an inheritance of grace. Now, I heard a man one time named T.D. Jakes say this, favor ain't fair. All right. Can I do this? Y'all taking me a different way, but I'm going to stay with you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I want you to see this. You almost got that time. You almost got that. Michael! All right, hold up. Okay. Now let's look at this. Let's look at Numbers chapter 11 and verse 16. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Numbers 11:16. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to read this all together. Ready, read. Next verse. All right. That's all right. Forget it. Let me just tell you what it says. Moses, I'm not going to let you counsel all these people by yourself. You pick out 70 people, and I'm going to take the anointing that's on you, and I'm going to put it on 70. So they can counsel on the level that you're counseling. Now Moses realized, I'm putting this in there myself, they didn't go to counseling school. But I'm going to jump across the process of school. And I'm going to give them an ability that you've got without having to go through that. Now, we're not promoting laziness. We're only saying this is a way we can get in the driver's seat. Do you hear what I'm saying? Even though you've been locked out of things, God has got a way that he can fulfill the promise that you will be the head and not the tail. Come on, folks. For example, Joseph. Now here is Joseph. Now this, y'all gonna have to come up now. I can't come down, but for so far, you're gonna have to come on up. Cause this is, see, this, folks, he's got it so that you don't have to take a bribe. You don't have to give a bribe. You can make God wake him up at night and make him give you everything you ever wanted. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying, yes, you fell short in the schooling here or didn't go to that or was not able to do that. Why? You didn't have the money and you were locked out of a system. But God is saying, I'm going to jump over the system. I'm going to create a new system. I'm going to make it so you know what you never knew that you knew you knew. And I'm going to make it so that I can endow you and give you a mind that you never had. I'm going to lift the lid on your mental system. I'm going to do that. Look what he did with Joseph. Look at Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Really, praise God. Let me get somebody over here. Come on. Flo, come on, come in. He said, Flo, give me the microphone. Where's the microphone? Come on. All right? Go get that microphone right over there. Come on, I'm going to pay you. Go over there and get it. All right? Okay. It's on. Read that. This is Genesis chapter 39, verse 1, please. Genesis 39, verse 1. Read.
And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down to Ida.
Keep going.
And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian.
Keep going.
And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand.
Go on. Now understand, Joseph never went to ranch management school, but God put something on Joseph.
Hallelujah.
Come on now. Now I'm saying to you that you may not have gone to that school. Here's $100. Give me the microphone. You may not have gone to that school, but I got news for you that there is an anointing that can come on you supernaturally to make you do it better than anybody in any school, including Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Oxford, any school there is. You're going to be the head and not the tail. Boy, I'm preaching now, babe. Sit down. Now stop making excuses, because if you keep making excuses like that, then you negate the promise. You can't do that. You can say, you say this, I can do all things, which, that's your confession. You're the head, not the tail. You're the lender. Come on. I'm saying, say what God said so God can put on you what he wants to put on you. I'm saying this is going to be your year. You're going to take control over this city. Lord have mercy. Okay. Woo. Now, do you see how this connects with my message of being miracle-minded? See, if you're not miracle-minded, that's why the enemy is keeping what he's got from you. That's why the enemy is keeping you out of position. So, why? Because, true enough, you didn't have enough money to go there. You didn't have enough this. The Lord, Dr. Thomas said, she went to Harvard. She went to the finest schools in the world. I'm saying that God can put something on you. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying not to go to school or the school isn't good. I'm saying God can make it happen for you. Look at Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20, please. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20. Glory to God. Ready? Read. Say, I'm 10 times better. I don't care what they are. God's about to lift the lid on your mental system. He's about to make it so you're going to know all things. Glory to God. I said glory to God. John chapter 7 and verse 14 in the New Living Translation. Come on up here. You said that. Come on up here. Give him the microphone. All right. Hold on. I want him to read it. Okay. He's going to read this. Wait a minute. This is Jesus now. This is Jesus. He is your example. I want you to read this. Ready? Read. Go ahead. Read.
Then midday through the festival, Jesus went up to the temple and began to teach.
Next verse.
The people were surprised when they asked him, how does he know so much when he hasn't been trained? They asked.
They want to know, how did Jesus know all of this? And he never went to our schools. And that's what they're going to say about you. How does he know? How does she know? Come on now. And you never went to those schools. I'm telling you right now. Here's your $100. Go ahead. Amen. Give him a hand clap. A godly leader is one that others want to follow. I'll go through them real quickly. Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. All right, come on up. You screaming like that. Come on up here. You just busy screaming. Not you. I heard a lady screaming over here. All right, come on up here. Give her the microphone. Okay, where you going? Go back and sit down. I ain't said nothing to you yet. Now, I'll get you next. Just hold your horses. All right. Wait a minute. Hold on. All right, you with me? Watch this. Watch what's going to happen here. This, you, a godly leader is someone others want to follow, not made to follow, want to follow. Go ahead, read for me, please.
And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whatsoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we are hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with
thee. Notice what he said. They said, wait a minute, everything you tell us to do, we'll do. Where you tell us to go, we'll go. Only the Lord, what? Be with you, as he was with Moses. And I'm here to tell, here's $100 for you. Amen. I'm running a little short here. Hey, it multiplies when I put it back in my pocket. All right, hold on. It's a leader that others want to follow. It's a leader that leads by influence. Leading by influence. When I was down in the second grade, I used to know a little girl named Denise. And when I was with Denise, I saw Denise, and the first time I saw her, I just fell in love with Denise. This is in the second grade. This ain't now. This is in the second grade. All right? And what happened? So Mama used to give me 10 cents. I used to buy 10 pieces of candy, and I'd give Denise 5. Oh, let me come back over here, Mike. That's so... And so next thing that happened, she gave me 10 cents more, and I gave Denise 5. I bought candy, gave Denise 5. Then we had Christmas, and we had a break in Christmas. And now, as we had a break, Denise came back after 2 weeks and ran and hugged me. Lord have mercy. And when she hugged me, she said, oh, William, thank you. Now, I didn't know what she was talking about. I'm thinking she's talking about the candy. No, her daddy, who was in the military overseas, sent her a bike for Christmas. And he put a tag on it, from you know who. What can I say? I receive. Leading by influence. What am I saying? Another way to lead. A characteristic of a good, godly leader is they lead others to leadership. Put it up there, please. Matthew's gospel. And Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. Where's the lady that came out of here and ran all the way across the place here? Where is she? You better get up here quick, because I'm about to give you a... Okay, where is she? Coming up here. All right. I want you to read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6. A good leader, godly leader, is one who leads others to leadership. Because when they're not a godly leader, they don't want to teach you what they know. But a godly leader wants to teach you everything they know. And Jesus said, I'm going to teach you everything because I'm going out of here shortly. And I want you to be able to duplicate what I did. Let's read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, please.
And you go, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely have you received, freely give.
Here's your $100. Now give her a hand clap, give him the microphone. A good, godly leader is a leader that through their own character inspire confidence and courage. Abraham, in Genesis 14, when he heard that Lot was taken prisoner, he got 318 servants in his own house. Genesis 14, 14. And he got them and they pursued the enemy. Four nations he came up against with 314 people and God on his side. And he took back Lot, took back all the goodies and slaughtered the enemy. Now this is the power of you working with God. Say amen to that. A good godly leader. You lead others to leadership. You show character. You show competence. A good godly leader has this thing where they go along and teach others. A good godly leader. And we need that today. Because you're going to hear God. Now, where does the church need to go? How do we get there? First, Jesus said, repent. That's found over in, I'm not giving away any more money. That's found over in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Jesus came preaching the gospel saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does repent mean? It means turn around. Change your thinking. Change your belief. In other words, come back up to where you belong. Next, these are three keys for us coming back to where we're supposed to be. Next, knowledge of the kingdom. Knowledge of the kingdom. You have to have knowledge of the kingdom. A lot of people in church have never heard teachings on the kingdom of God. And that's it. Remember, that's all Jesus taught. Jesus taught. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. He went about teaching the kingdom of God and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Why? Because God was demonstrating that what Jesus was preaching was true. So as we know and practice the kingdom, the supernatural takes over. Say amen to that. Amen. And then the last thing that the church has to understand is the blessing. Faith in the blessing. I taught this throughout Africa while the pandemic was in place. Taught it by Zoom. Faith in the blessing. Now wait a minute. What is the blessing? The blessing is the power of God and empowerment for success. An empowerment for success. Oh, in America, they use it real loosely. God bless you, brother. Hey, God bless you. Going to have a trip? Well, bless you. No. I found out when I come to Africa, people seem to understand the blessing. They understand that if the hands get laid on them, something has happened. The blessing. God in Deuteronomy chapter 34 had Moses in verse 9 to lay hands on Joshua. And when he laid hands on Joshua, Joshua was never the same. But you don't need to lay hands anymore. You can speak the blessing. And that's what he did when Isaac spoke the blessing over Jacob. And the Bible says in Genesis 28 verse 1, and Isaac blessed Jacob. Now, look at verse 4 of that same chapter. And that's what it says in verse 4. Let me give you Winston's translation. I have just empowered you to take everything that strangers have. The blessing. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth what? No sorrow. I got one more here. Wait a minute. I was just over that side. Okay. Come on. Way back. Come. Give me the microphone. Read. I want you to read two scriptures. I want you to read. I want you to read Job chapter 32, verses 6 through 10, and the Message translation, please. Now, listen, hold on, I'm about done. Now, he's going to read this. Now, that's Barakel. Okay. All right, hush, honey. We're doing something here. We're discovering some things over here. She want to get paid. Well, I'm telling you. Okay. All right. Ready? Read. Listen. I'm almost done. Listen.
This is what Elihu, the son of Barakel, said. I'm a young man, and you are all old and experienced. That's why I kept quiet and held back from joining the discussion. I kept thinking, experience will tell. The longer you live, the wiser you become.
Hold on. He said the longer you live, the wiser you become. Keep reading.
But I see I was wrong. It's God's spirit in a person. The breath of the Almighty One that makes one wise in sight possible.
Now, notice what he's saying here. He's saying, wait a minute. The breath of the Almighty can come inside of you. And you'll know what experienced people have never learned. And I'm saying God is about to take you and put you on top. Now, let's read one more place. Let's read Psalms chapter 72 and verse 18. Woo, wait a minute. We haven't read the verse yet, honey. Let's read the verse first. All right, come on.
Blessed be the Lord God.
Wait a minute. Listen at this now. Go.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things.
He only does what?
Wondrous things.
Now let's look at what wondrous means. It means things that no one else can match. He's about to do something through you that no one else can match. Let me give you another definition of wondrous things. Things that leave all others far behind. You are about to be rich and famous. If you believe it, get up and give God your best shout. Come on, give him your best shout. I decree from this day forward, you will never see yourself under. You will see yourself over. You will never see behind. You will see yourself in front. You will never see yourself losing. You'll see yourself winning. You'll never see yourself poor. You'll see yourself rich. You'll never see yourself weak. You'll see yourself strong. You'll never see yourself dishonored. You'll be honored from now on. I'm saying this is your year. If you believe it, give him one more shout, and